and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Now, whose idea was it for me to have taken up four pages in this notebook of mine, my trusty notebook, on
mock schedules.
Mock schedules on fake bill schedules. Whose idea was that? I mean, literally four pages are just used up by the bill schedule. No, this other one I didn't even really get anywhere because I made a mistake right away with having three home games together. But they do have that. A lot of teams,
yeah.
I haven't mentioned this with you yet, but the three-game road trip slash homestand, whichever. There's plenty of that on the NFL schedule.
Mm.
Anyway, can I blame you for this? I've got four pages taken up. It's getting late here for this notebook.
Well,
I really could use the space.
Can you just tear those pages out?
I mean, I would never.
That's not going to replace the pages. You would never.
No reason to. It doesn't erase them, like you said, right?
Just so. Right, but they're out of there. Like, if it's annoying you that they're there.
It's annoying
and
me.
You have no use for them. I wouldn't think ever really going to need to look at a mock bill schedule.
No, but there could be something useful on the other side. That
oh, I see. I didn't know.
I'm on the backs now.
I thought maybe you were. I apologize. I didn't understand the gravity of the situation. I thought.
I'm not sure you still do.
I thought you had two pages with four schedules, front back.
No.
Tear those out. They're gone.
What I do is go all the way to the back using the fronts, and then come all the way back the other way using the backs, like a normal person would do.
This is the most insane assertion you've ever made on the show.
What are you talking about?
Ever.
You would use the back of a page?
Front back, like you're reading a book. Yeah, like a normal person.
Really?
Yeah, front back. That's how you turn pages. What are you doing? Front, all the way. Wow. I don't really know what to say.
Well, it's going to come out the same.
Sure.
Oh, look, here's a schedule. Wait a minute.
My God.
Here's a fake schedule from last year. I think this is fake. They didn't play the Jets on Sunday Night Football in week one. Maybe this is 2 years ago. When did they play Tampa? 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This is a fake schedule from 2023. I see. I'm judicious with the pages.
With
here.
A blank page across from.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had that Cowboys game on a Thursday night. What do you know? It wasn't on a Thursday night. It was a Sunday.
There's a few. I don't want to say many things because I'm not sure I have many things, but there's a couple of things that really stand out here. One, that you just so authoritatively said, like a normal person.
Yes.
And I'm going to guess that 99.9% of society agrees with me.
Really?
Yeah.
99.9?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Name a thing. 99.9.
Yeah, really. What could that
bread
thing be?
Bread is good.
Okay. No, I like this better than bread is good.
More people agree with you on how you use a notebook
yes,
and whether you think bread is good.
Yes, there's going to be people that never eat bread. There's people out there that never eat vegetables or never eat meat. There's going to be people that don't eat bread.
Okay.
Way more than 0.1% of the population, I would estimate.
Okay.
This notebook thing, I don't know, man. Did you do this when you were in school? Any level of school using notebooks?
I might have had a mom who said, you know, like, don't waste the pages. Like, maybe do it your way.
Right.
So that I would not. But I'm not wasting the pages.
No, as long as you're using them. It's just when I. Yeah, I don't know.
This is the history of the golf bet.
Well, that's an impressive thing to have. How long have you had this notebook a while?
I went back
and figured, wow.
I wanted to find out how we did historically in the golf bet. So sometime between mock schedules in 2023 and today, I went through.
What sort of, did you reach any conclusions about
I don't know.
Who has the better end of that thing?
I was thinking today about the next one, which will be the U.S. Open in 2 weeks. and it'll be yours, right? Or Brian?
No,
it'll
Brian. I had the Masters.
Gene Steratore's
so
head is blocking
I have,
them.
Sorry.
It'll
be
Brian.
I have two this year, yeah.
And I was thinking that the person picking has been on a hot streak. And as I look at this now, it is 6 out of 7.
Okay.
That the person picking the players has won. But, I mean, look at the names. Koepka, Scheffler, DeChambeau, Shoffley, McIlroy, Scheffler. I mean, it's not exactly Larry Nelson winning in 1983.
Right.
Quote Larry Nelson. He wasn't. Yeah. He's not the best example. Mark Brooks. So, yes, I just don't really need all this space taken up, but I've got it, and we'll make do. And thank you for your scrutiny.
I think the scrutiny is warranted. Okay. I'm hoping to get lots of feedback on it.
Lots.
It sort of blows my mind that you would use a notebook.
We're not getting lots of feedback on James Cook. Good luck with the notebook gambit. You know what the best thing is right now about Bills life or life with a team like the Bills?
I can think of a few things.
Not having the Diggs nonsense today.
Yeah, that's up there.
Right?
That is very high on the list.
My favorite thing about having our show be about the Bills and not, say, the Patriots today is maybe we don't have to argue about whether Stephon Diggs being on a boat with 100 women and maybe drugs matters while the rest of the team is at work.
Right.
You know, because that you know how that goes.
Right. While he's rehabilitating an injury.
Guys, why are we taking this seriously?
Right.
You can't rely. This would have been me last time when he was on the team. Right? Why do we have to worry about this? He's a professional. He'll show up. He'll catch 100 passes. He'll be second team all pro. And we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that what I would say? 2 years ago?
Probably.
If he's on the boat?
Probably, yes. Yes. Yes.
Does it depend on some of the circumstances? I don't know. Does the injury matter? New team? Doesn't new team matter?
New team.
If Diggs the
injury,
first year.
Good impressions. Like, I don't know how far of a. I haven't really thought a lot about it other than I didn't really recognize the powder. I'm out of touch. I saw him pull something out of a pocket. And I'm like, I went to my kids. What do we got here?
That's a loaded question.
Not really sure what's going on here. Because, I just don't know.
Were you hoping they would know?
No, actually. No.
Okay.
Owen had a pretty authoritative opinion about it.
Interesting.
Because I don't really know why, but he did. Anyway.
Makes you think.
It could. Let's move on. I haven't thought a ton about it, but... I think how big of a leap would it be? Fourth team now, right? 1 year injury. He's in Houston. Now he's in New England. I don't know. He's on a boat, and there's drugs, and there's all these women, and maybe he's telling them to call him daddy or something. I couldn't really make out the audio. I don't know what's happening. And would it be insane to assert, like, he's just mailing in the rest of his career. He's done. He's made all his money. He got hurt, and he's just going to Coke boat parties now.
Allegedly.
Right. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's some kind of legitimate pain medication that
maybe.
Is
probably.
Handed out
that's
that
what
way
I think.
At the pharmacy.
That's what I think.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I
think it's Bayer.
Right.
Aspirin. That's what I think it is. Well, funny how it works.
Yeah.
When he's yours, come on.
Ah,
it's only May.
Give
me the top 10 answers.
It's his own time.
On the phone, on the Twitter, once we get, clipped, ripping him.
Yeah.
And then what do the next 200 comments say? It's only May. These guys are the worst.
Lots
did they hang up on somebody?
Lots of guys do that. You just don't see video
right,
of it.
Right, exactly. That's a good one. Everybody does it. It's just not on camera.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's like no biggie. Maybe that's correct.
It might be.
We don't know yet.
I don't know.
It's not great.
No, it's not.
If he worked for you, how would you feel? If he was your player, how would you feel?
Why
did I go to school? Or whatever you say on that one.
Why didn't I stay in school?
Why didn't I stay in school? Why am I in this ridiculous job where I'm the boss? but really, not really. I'm just, I'm only Mike Vrabel. I can't really control the whole situation here. I was thinking about him, and I want there to be something left to do with him, you know, to answer to make as a conclusion, but I think it's all kind of clear. Think of what are the questions you might ask if you had this job. What are the questions you might ask about Diggs in a conversation, like and the Bills' experience with him? For example, was it worth doing?
That's fine. It's a fine question to ask. It's one that I've answered without even really being asked many times.
The answer is of course.
Yeah.
It was of course it was
totally
worth doing.
Even as bumpy as it ever got and as messy as it ended, I would do it again.
Yeah, right? How could you not? How could you not want to? Right. How could you say no to that, I think?
Yeah, I think you got to twist yourself up pretty hard to assume the Bills would have drafted Justin Jefferson and had a player 5 years younger for 4 years on a rookie contract that was playing at the level he was playing at. I mean, that's the only stick in it, is that the pick they used to acquire him got used on a younger, better version of Diggs.
Okay.
But you can't assume that the Bills would have done that, and so whatever.
But just to play that out, you could say that they should have, because that's how the draft is, right? You're supposed to treat this like they know who's good. And so even if they were saved from Jalen Reagor in the pick before, they would have picked, of course, they would have picked Justin Jefferson because we don't have those jobs because we're not qualified. So, of course, they would know to pick Justin Jefferson in that spot, right? So that you could look at it that way. You know, a lot of people do. And then could you say, I mean, there are people in the world who would say this, that the trade was bad because Jefferson exists.
Well, I think that assumes too much. Like I'm saying, I know people would say that. I wouldn't agree with them. I think they're wrong. But that is the one little an island of the trade that, you know, you circumstantially you just go, well, what up? Ask it this way. Who would I rather be once Jefferson shows up and is what Jefferson has become? You'd rather be the team with him.
Yep.
So that, that is, it's opinion, but I mean, I think you'd be nuts to take the other side in
but
that.
Diggs did so well.
Yeah, he did.
Right? It's Mahomes and Allen a little bit.
How so?
Just pick Mahomes.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
But Allen is great.
Yeah.
And you don't really regret not picking Mahomes, right? I mean, most days you don't, because Allen is so good and he's so perfect. So, like, you could. Maybe it is pretty close.
I don't.
Mahomes is to Allen what Jefferson is to Diggs.
I don't think I want my name on. I don't regret not drafting Mahomes.
Okay.
That's
fair.
That draft came around and I found my way to really wanting him. Not that I knew he was going to do this or anything, but I just thought he had something. Allen is great, but he does keep losing to that guy one way or another. So I don't know if the roles were reversed. I think a lot of Bills fans feel this way, that if Allen were there and Mahomes were here, the same would be happening because of McDermott. Like if Allen had Reed and Spagnuolo and like everything that's gone on there, that he'd be the one with the rings and Mahomes and the Bills would be chasing. And I don't absolutely, I mean, who knows? I mean, they are both excellent.
You'll listen to that.
But I would listen to that. I only get so far because Allen is so good that it's barely, but you know, just still, if one's a little better, I'd want the little better one.
But we're down pretty far into the rabbit hole now.
Yes, we are.
So as far as Diggs goes, would you make the trade? Sure. I mean, duh. He was a huge help. He was a great player. He was a fan favorite for a while. I mean, he was a win.
And he was established and like a known commodity, which, again, with the draft, you wouldn't know. And how quickly did it become apparent that Jefferson was going to be a superstar? Was it right away? Was his rookie year unbelievable?
Close.
So, I mean, maybe they would have hit the ground running. And it would have looked almost the same. Production-wise, Allen's emergence, all of that Diggs gets some credit for, maybe Jefferson would have done the same thing for him.
But, you know, not to belabor this one part of it, but you can't really, in my opinion, at least, you can't really blame the GM for a move where you get an A, but the other side gets an A+. Right?
Right. Like none of this is... I'm not criticizing the trade at all. Okay. I've defended it anytime it's ever come up.
Okay.
That I would do it again, even with the baggage and all the mess. Whatever. Fine. I'm just pointing out where are the soft spots where you can like poke at and see if what about that part? But again, I think the whole premise of the keep the pick and draft Jefferson is flawed. I mean, they could have drafted an offensive tackle or something if they kept the pick. Who knows?
So what questions can be asked? What debates can still be had about Stephon Diggs and the Bills? Like, should they have traded for him? We covered that. Yes. I mean, they did great. Could they have maybe done better? Yes. But they did great. Done. Should he still be on the team? So last year happened. A year ago, we were arguing about Diggs being traded because it had just happened. Will it work? Did it work? They were no less of a team without him.
Right.
And they really didn't replace him with anybody at all on the same level. Like they we've been all over it. They won anyway.
Yeah. They tried eventually. They pivoted 6 or whatever weeks into the season to Cooper. He didn't come close to duplicating anything. Even like the worst of Diggs production-wise was maybe where Cooper was at. You just didn't get. But they did make an attempt. I do like pointing that out, that for all the everybody eats and all the stuff, they traded a nice asset for a guy that I think was supposed to come in and be the number one guy.
Should they have traded for him? Sure. It worked. Should they have traded him last year? Well, kind of worked. Like it didn't – it's an argument I would not want to even try to make, that had he been on the Bills last year, it would have been a better season. His playoff results the previous years, down the stretch, and the playoffs, and he got hurt anyway. Like, has anybody even thought of that? Have you ever heard anybody say it?
What this team really needed was Diggs.
That last year, the Bills would have been better, they would have won, had they had Diggs around. Like, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that, fans or anybody. So, should they have traded for him? Yeah. Should they have traded him when they did? Hard to say no.
I think so. I mean, without knowing exactly... you know, what the pressure points were and how, you know, how urgently they needed to clear that out of their orbit. I trust that the fact that they did it, I'm going to trust them that it was warranted, that they didn't overreact. They went through the previous year. It was bumpy at this time of the year, right? We're coming up on mandatory minicamp, and that's the 2 years ago now. Very concerned. He's not here. Turns out he was here. There was an argument, whatever. Whatever was happening there, they smoothed that over and got through another year. And then, who knows? I don't know if Diggs came in and just said, I don't want to do this anymore. And they said, okay, we agree. And that was it. Or if there was a blow-up and drama off the field, who knows? Maybe they had video of him on a boat. I have no idea what happened, but I trust that there was enough, you know, going on around that whole situation that they felt they needed to relieve it.
Poor boats.
Yes.
Hard to besmirch boats like this.
Boats are getting a rough ride.
Boats are taking a beating. So, again, should they have traded for him? Yeah. Should they have traded him when they did? Okay. It didn't backfire. That's the least you could say.
Right.
Should they have traded him earlier? Was it a year too late? I don't know.
The return they got was pretty good. I mean, receiver-wise, to get a second was, I'm going to say, great with his contract in
compared
place.
Compared to, like, Dallas and Amari.
Yeah.
Some of the other ones. Okay, sure.
I think they did really well. So I don't think they waited too long. It's hard for me to imagine his value being more than what they got for him.
Right.
So the timing of it, I think, didn't hurt them.
So we're here now. What is left to talk about? You know, they did it. We approve. It went great. It wore thin. They got out. It was controversial to make the trade, but last year happened, and they set a franchise record in scoring. How hard can you kick at that?
Right.
And then now what? I mean, now he's had an injury since, and now you've got today, whatever that is. Mike Vrabel doesn't seem too pleased. He didn't pretend to not care.
Oh, figure.
I would like him here. So I feel like there's just, I want there to be something more to sink my teeth into with the Diggs years. And I just don't know what it would be. Like the two seasons, the last two seasons were the same in how, as it got into December and January, he was less productive. Like the bulk of his production was in the first half of those last 2 years. Not so much before that. I mean, he had a couple of good playoff games earlier. But that happened, and I don't know what I can do about that. I mean, it's not like they should have benched him or just – there's nothing I can really do with that. So I'm sort of left, like, in a, what for me is an uncomfortable position, which is like there's not really anything to debate with him, I think. Unless you've got something out there. I don't know. I'd love to talk about him. I mean, it was a very important move and impactful. And it, you know, to be redundant, it meant so much to their fortunes. They went from good to great when he got here. Like, that was the move. I mean, the Jefferson stuff, he wasn't a rookie. You know, he was a well-established star receiver in the league. And that meant something to that equation that he wasn't, you know, young.
Yeah, so, he had, yeah. Another part of the Jefferson thing that I don't really like, I think it's like a faulty construct, is that however good he was as a rookie and how quickly he became one of the, if not the best receiver in the game, he was not walking in the door with the kind of clout that Diggs already had to sort of change the competitive temperament of the team. And I feel like Diggs has gotten, at least from my end of this, and I think a lot of people, a lot of credit for being the way he was when he got here. And there's bad that comes with that, as we all saw eventually, his personality. But he was driven and demanded excellent, whatever. They became a more serious franchise when he got here to me.
That's right. Anybody think there's like a false narrative about him or that there's something that people get wrong about Diggs? 803-0550. It's New England's deal now. I don't want to say problem, like we know it's a problem, but today's kind of hilarious. We will talk about the Broncos today. Zach Stevens will be our guest coming up at 4. We'll look for your calls next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at 803-0550. This is WGR.
We want to make great decisions on and off the field. And we're hoping that with our time here on the field today, and that when we don't have a script and we're on the call-up periods, that we're making great decisions. And so the message will be the same for all our players, that we're trying to make great decisions. And any conversations that I've had with Stephon will remain between him and I and the club.
Everything
that we're going to do, Karen, is we're going to coach the guys that show up at 8, and the ones that say, hey, I got a situation, will be at 8:05. We'll coach those as well. This is a voluntary part of our off-season program. Every player that's not here, which there aren't many, have been in communication with me and their position coaches.
Mike Vrabel. That could get fun. If that's us, whose side are we on? The new coach who is intended to restore credibility, the Patriot way, former, you know, quasi great player on the team. We already love him. He's going to help us versus Diggs, who I'm not sure we like at all, really. I think a Patriot fan has had no chance to warm up to Stephon Diggs.
Right. They're maybe the last time they really thought about Stephon Diggs was him waving goodbye to their defensive backs running away from them, you know, on his way to the end zone. I mean, it happened, you know, in a few prominent spots, primetime games. Like he had some moments against New England.
I mean, Vrabel is pretty no-nonsense. he comes across right there, just, you know, pretty businesslike. I don't know.
I think I mostly would want to, I'm not sure, I don't think I've always been like this about this sort of thing, but I think over the last 5 to 10 years maybe, I mostly... Really, before the league, I think I've been like this a while because Marshawn Lynch, drugs in the car, right? Remember this? Like in the glove box was a gun. And he's still on the Bills, I think. He's home in the offseason. There's an unregistered gun and there's some dope in the car, marijuana. And at least I believe that's what it was. And I remember being like, just don't be dumb enough to get caught. You, of course, are you're a young dude. You play football. Smoking marijuana is better than shooting yourself up with painkillers. Fine. Just don't do it with cameras rolling. It's kind of where I ended up there, and that's a long time ago now. So I think that's where I'd be here. Like, yeah, you know, I'm not naive enough to think that these guys all are Nathan McKinnon and, like, you know, just legendarily hard ass about fitness and diet and every waking minute is just geared towards I got to be the best I can possibly be tomorrow. It's just practice. I don't care. Like, there are people like that in pro sports. I don't know how few and far between they are, and there's probably a lot of people that like to enjoy the whatever. Like, I can afford this. I'm just going to live my life. I'm not. I don't have a problem. It's just recreational. And, like, okay, just don't shoot a video of it on your phone. I don't want to have this problem. I think
in this case, there's no avoiding it. I mean, it's so many people on that boat, and it's got to be a lot of phones. I mean, I feel like right, on this one, right. You make your choice. On one hand, could he have gone on this tour of Miami Harbor, if that's what it's called, a week ago? Well, maybe. On the other, I don't know, was Cardi B his girlfriend a week ago? Like,
yeah.
Now I've got that happening. It's been going on a while.
I don't know. I didn't assume they were dating, but I saw them seated next together at a Knicks game earlier in the playoffs.
Okay.
Like,
well,
that happened.
You know, sometimes you make choices in these kinds of things. The heart wants, et cetera, and I'm just going to not go to work today because I don't really have to.
Right. Even though I'm rehabbing a knee injury.
I know, whatever. It would look good. I know I should, but I mean, this... I saw some of that video. I'd be tempted. It seems like the kind of thing where maybe you'd have fun on that boat. I don't know. Just
does look all right.
It doesn't sound like just like going to Beaver Island or something for the day to hike.
No.
Play nine holes of golf or something.
Cruising like, the Black Rock Channel to get to Grass Island. No, it's a little more.
It seems like a lot.
A little more high end than that, I think.
Yeah, maybe
going on there.
Maybe. But you could. I'm stereotyping in a few ways here. You could see a Patriots fan today being like, get rid of them. Culture.
Yeah.
I don't like him anyway. He's old anyway. He's injured anyway. I don't need him. I've got Kayshawn Boutte.
I mean, he came here and, like we talked through in the first segment, got, I think, rightly so, a lot of credit for bringing Allen to, helping get Allen to where Allen is now. And, you know, I don't want to get hung up on whether it's a disproportionate amount, whatever. It coincided with the elevation of the entire franchise led by Josh Allen. So, okay, credit for that. Now he's being brought to New England to, I think, do basically the same sort of thing. That's part of the hope, I think, is even though he's not the status of player he once was, he's coming off an injury, this is a guy who, what's the reputation, like what's the bio read? Burns to win, demands greatness, has been a great player in the league, and that's going to help Drake May. And you know we're not even into training camp yet, and we've got coke on a boat. Maybe whatever it is, like just whoa, dude.
That sounded a lot more right to me 4 years ago than it seems today.
Yeah,
right.
So,
I mean,
so I would understand a Patriot fan going like, "What did we buy? Why did we? What are we doing here?"
When Diggs left, was it still his deserved reputation that it was anything to win? I mean, You only have so much data, but what we saw on the field sometimes was not team first. It was me first.
Yeah.
And generally, team first is what we count. That's what counts as you know, the other thing, like just that sort of level of commitment. But Diggs is, I think, a little bit of a con artist. Like, he would tell you in a very eloquent way often how devoted he was. You know, he remember when after the minicamp flap from a couple years ago, he got to Fisher and he was effusive about how much he, you didn't hear me say I didn't want to be here. You know, he was like almost defiant and effusive about praise for the whole thing. And the media ate it up. They all lined up to go on Twitter and talk about how amazing he was for being so open and just, I don't know, like, how did it happen in the first place? He would never, I might get the chronology wrong because it was kind of scattershot. It wasn't always that we were hearing from him, but,
no.
You know, different interviews where he just couldn't bring himself to say what that he was happy or anything that would just sort of like put your mind at ease. He couldn't bring himself to do that in what seemed like kind of obvious ways.
Yeah, he never. I would say it this way sometimes, and I don't mean this to be critical of people who do it because I don't know that they're all being, or even many of them are being patronizing. But Diggs, I think, was just being so real that he couldn't just give you the sort of I love it here, I love blue cheese. Like he just would not spoon feed you that. And I respect that because, you know, when everybody sort of hits the same note all the time, that's what can make you wonder how real it is. Because, you know, I think you know going in, like, all right, just say this and this and this and you'll be fine. Nobody will bother you.
Yeah, that wasn't him.
Right? That was not him. Like, he's going to tell you whether it's going to make it harder for him or not. He's just going to tell you, I think, mostly. That's how I read him.
Yeah, so... Always a mixed bag. He was always good to talk about because people would read him differently, right? And again, we're so limited in what we get access to. I don't know about what he means to the Patriots as a veteran acquisition that's supposed to help them with the culture stuff. I maybe we've just been through too much dig stuff over the years for me to think like that's really sort of a believable thought. I think what they had was just a huge void at wide receiver, and were willing to pay him probably what was way over market to sign with them. Like who wouldn't go? Godwin wouldn't go. They wanted Godwin and maybe offered him more, but he went back to Tampa and there was someone else. And so they're at a point where, like, they've got this quarterback. They add Mike Vrabel, but they don't have any talent. So here's $5, $10 million more than you'd probably get from anybody else. We need you. And, you know, how does that sometimes fly with an employee? Well, I'm not – thank you. I'll see you in September. I mean, it's sort of Rodgers right now. I mean, Rodgers isn't under contract. But he has leverage. He doesn't need to be there for OTAs, and he's not. And he'll probably show up at the latest possible date where he doesn't get, you know, he doesn't apparently mind. I think he loves the spotlight.
Oh, the mystery of what's he going to do next.
But he doesn't want to be at minicamp. He's proven that with the Jets. So how do I, you know? Like, people talk about the Rodgers thing like it's already done, probably. He's just not there because he's Aaron Rodgers. And he doesn't feel like he needs to be there. And that's maybe Diggs in some way, too. So I think, I don't know how it sounds, but I would bet a lot of Patriots fans just want to cut bait. You know,
sure.
It's like it's a certain kind of town. And they're going to trust Mike Vrabel.
Right.
And if it comes down to, have you seen this Kyle Williams, guys? I don't know if you've seen Kyle Williams at the OTAs, but apparently he's the talk of practice.
Yeah.
Rookie receiver.
I it definitely feels to me like Patriots fans would almost unquestionably side with Vrabel. Like if Vrabel, if they're having meetings right now and like he's raising the idea, like, you know, what are we doing here? I don't need this. We don't need this. Let's just cut bait. Yeah, whatever the dead money is. I mean, they had a ton of money. I'm sure they can find a way to do it if they want to. And I'll bet the vast majority of fans, in particular because Diggs is not, he's diminished at this point. Not entirely because of this video, but, you know, his injury, his age, his production, it's all sort of been dropping. And so If Vrabel wants to go to war over it, like make a move on him, I would bet the majority of fans would appreciate it and side with him because you're not sure what you were going to get from this player anyway at this point. Like it's not like you're assuming
that's right
100 catches or something at all. Far from it.
That's right. They did not bring him in to be what the Bills brought Diggs in here for, to be a star and a leader and an important player on a Super Bowl contender. That's not what they're right. doing. They're trying to get to the playoffs, and they're hoping he has, 80 catches left in him or something like that off a torn ACL that can help keep them from drowning at that position. That's how it feels to me. I wonder if today changes anything. 803-0550 if you want to discuss it with us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR. I'm having a terrible time stacking this year so far in drafts. I don't know why. I can't figure out why.
You're not good at it.
Well, that's got to be right. I feel like it should be doable. But I don't know. I felt like in other years, these drafts would just sort of fall into my lap, I guess I'd say. And this year, just not going as well. It's somehow it's the order of the players and then the Week 17 stuff. Forces you maybe to go off the board a little bit, which I am not comfortable doing. I'm definitely a consensus guy, value guy, Bulldog, like yourself.
Is it possible at all that you used to have some barely perceptible edge that is dissipating because there's so much more information out there and like everyone who plays has access to more stuff and they're doing it maybe the smarter way and that you've lost an edge?
A little bit. I mean, people who've been playing more seriously for longer kind of all say that. It's a way more sophisticated market. The usability of the sites is just so easy and fun and cheap. And so like that many more people are in. And you want to win and there's millions literally up top at stake and there's all this free content too.
Right.
I'm in the Matrix because I'm both now. I'm
right.
producing the content, but also trying to beat the people that are watching. And I don't know. It's just not coming easily. I haven't won that much anyway. What do I mean by easily? It's coming harder this year so far. Zach Stevens on the Broncos coming up at the top of the hour. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here. So Josh Byrne, fresh or not so fresh off the Bandits championship win, another long season and championship season for them, 3 in a row, 5 straight years in the finals. Byrne, we talked to one of the stars of the team. We talked to him before the finals, the week before.
Right.
And he talked about the value of rest. But finally, they had a weekend off. And he also said how he wasn't playing field anymore because just too much. However, he does play in a box league in Canada for Six Nations. And he played last night.
Really?
2 goals.
Man.
Saturday afternoon, I don't know what the celebration would have been like, but there he was last night at Iroquois Lacrosse Arena. I was there on Saturday. I was at Iroquois Lacrosse Arena about an hour and a half north of here when Byrne was playing for the Bandits.
On Saturday.
Saturday. That's where I was on the field. My son was just throwing the ball around on the field on Saturday. It's a cool little place. Not that little, actually. But that was their game last night. They won, I guess. And so he's right back in season, just
right.
like that.
Right. No time off.
No time off.
Well, I'm confident he'll make it down here Friday for the parade and the celebration. 5:15. Right?
Friday at 5, yep. Hockey tonight is Florida-Carolina, game 5. Sam Reinhart expected to play. That kind of seems like a surprise from the injury.
I didn't really hear a lot of guessing about what he hurt there. I thought it could be anything on that side of his body. Hip, thigh, you know, quad, knee. Like the way Aho hit him, it could have been a few different things, like I said. So I didn't have a real sense of like what kind of timeline. I guess I got to say I'm a little surprised. The way the hit looked, I'm surprised that he's playing. Especially with a 3-0 and now 3-1 series lead, you might feel like you could just save him for the final.
It's risky.
Yeah.
You don't want to save Joey Bosa.
No, right.
For the playoffs.
Right.
Florida easy tonight or what?
I would bet them, yeah. Yeah. I think I got everything Carolina had, and, you know, credit to them, they did it. I think Florida had their night off, and they will find their gear tonight, I would expect.
So do you like maybe a -1.5 or something like that?
Yes.
What's that?
It's 210 maybe. It's big.
+210?
Yeah.
Wow, it's good.
That's exactly the kind of action I hop on.
Doesn't give you any pause.
Throw a couple of goal scorers in there, and I'm off to the races.
Kulikov? Is he one? You going with him?
I don't even know if he's a choice on the list.
He might not even be a choice.
They do not list everyone.
That's a tremendous insult.
At least usually.
How about Evan Rodriguez?
That might be a good
Is he scoring?
Play. No.
Okay.
But you're probably going to get a nice number on him. And he is an offensive player. He has opportunity.
He is. Yes.
So, you know, I think I wouldn't hate that. No, I'm on Verhaeghe tonight.
Verhaeghe.
For them, yeah.
Who's the guy for Dallas that, is it Granlund? No, who's the guy for Dallas that has scored? He scored last night, maybe. Who scored for Dallas
Jason
last night?
Jason Robertson scored last night.
Okay, not him then. Not him. I'm thinking of someone else. That basically doesn't score, but has scored a couple times in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Would that be Edmonton? Maybe this guy in Edmonton. Anyway, I don't know.
Granlund had a hat trick in one game, and I don't know if he had been producing prior to that or not. I don't remember now.
Can't be him.
Okay.
I was half watching the game last night. Even though it was 2-1, looked pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
And 3-1.
I did not.
4-1.
I mean, whatever. You make a bet in February for who's going to win the cup and the NBA finals, and then baseball and football to fill it out. You know, you shouldn't expect the smoothest ride. I did not have Edmonton becoming like lockdown defensive masters, but they were all over it on the broadcast last night. Just talk like into the third period with that score, and Ferraro just kept saying like they're everywhere. There's no Dallas has no room. They just really have figured out how to play a different way when they need to, Edmonton, and that's just been stellar.
I turned it on for the start of the third to hear Sean McDonough say the Oilers are going for a commanding 3-1 series lead, which good thing because if you don't say commanding, you could get arrested. 3-1 series lead can only ever be commanding. You have to say it.
Yeah.
Apparently. Zach Stevens on the Broncos coming back here on WGR.